Hello and welcome to another episode of the We Lit podcast. We've missed you and we hope you guys have missed us as well. It's actually been a minute, hasn't it, since we last recorded?
Way too long.
We have actually been doing stuff. It's not like we've been sitting around doing nothing. And there has actually been a reason why I guess we haven't been recording for a while. Do you want to let them know what we've been up to or what you've been up to?
Yeah, so of course life takes its toll and, you know, work, life responsibilities, and the podcast just gets pushed to the side, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've been in between study and, you know, finding work, freelancing, that sort of thing. But also we wanted to take the time out to just really plan for our new season and make sure that it's the best that we want it to be. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, just doing life. I'm guessing you guys will probably understand when I say life can sometimes get in the way of everything else you actually want to be doing, right? So just working that. Obviously, work has really kicked off. So really long hours that we've been doing. And obviously, like, the football season's kicked off as well. So Saturdays, most weekends, I'm playing football.
Our boy's semi-pro, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So it's hard to kind of, you know, find the time. But finally, we found the time. And hopefully now going forward, you know, we'll be a lot more consistent for you guys. Because I've actually been feeling bad. Some of you have been like, yo, where's the pod? I didn't even realize so many of you actually listened. You know,
yeah,
I thought,
yeah, it's a lovely feeling, but the angst, like, is there as well because we know that we haven't been giving you guys content, but at the same time, you don't want to put out what we're not happy with.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, we've put a lot of thought into what we're going to be bringing you guys. And speaking of that, actually, we're making things a little bit different this season, but I'll get into that in a second. But yeah, thank you for the love so far, guys.
Thank you. Yeah,
we really appreciate it and the support. We are going to keep going. This is a new season and yeah.
Yeah. With that being said, new season, and you also said you'd mention it. We've actually got a few changes, I guess, to the format of how we're going to be doing the show and everything. So do you want to let them know how things are going to be a bit different now and what we're going to be doing going forward?
Yeah, so we're basically switching up the episode format just a little bit. And so we're going to be starting off each episode with what we're listening to currently, what's going on in the zeitgeist, to use a buzzword.
Favorite word. Do you know what? Fun fact, we actually almost named the podcast Zeitgeist, but let me shut it down. I thought it was a wavy word, but
Lemmy
was like, nah.
It would be too generic, you know?
Like, who uses zeitgeist in a common...
I mean, okay, maybe cliche. Yeah. I mean, zeitgeist is, you know, is a buzzy word, but then it doesn't immediately tell you what the podcast could be about.
Yeah, true.
But we landed on Wheel It, and of course that's the best name that we could think of. So cool. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to start off each episode with what's going on currently, you know, keep it current for you guys. And then we're going to get straight into what we're spinning this week. So on spin, and then we'll play like a 30-second excerpt of the song. And we're not going to be playing the whole song for you, like for the outro anymore.
Part of why we haven't been around for a while is because Universal Music Group wanted to shut us down.
If you didn't know, podcasting involves a lot of legal and, you know, intellectual property.
Yeah, you should get me on the case, actually, now that, you know, I'm in that industry.
Issues. And so, actually, we've had one of our episodes removed because of that. And of course, Drake's team were quick to shut our episode 2 down, but that's fine. So we're just going to be playing you short excerpts of the song.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk a little bit about it and then straight into the meat of the episode, which actually we are pre-planning our episodes and we are giving you different series. So we'll be interviewing people. We'll be doing artist spotlight so we can really geek out on like some of our favorite artists
and
you can listen to. So yeah, that's how we're planning our episodes. And so with that being said, let's get into our on spin, right?
Yeah, I believe it's your turn this week.
It was the last one to do it.
So yeah, take it away.
So this week's on spin. Oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned that it's we're maintaining our bi-weekly schedule.
Oh yeah, yes, of course.
Yeah. So for this episode's on spin, I am choosing a new song from a new album released by country legend Big Crit. He recently released, just last month, TDT, I believe it's called. Yeah. And off of that album, I've been really loving this song called Pick Yourself Up. And this song is one of the ones that stood out to me immediately because it's quite anthem-y. It's something to get you on your feet, and it's quite inspiring in terms of what he's talking about.
Yeah, I've noticed that Crit, I enjoy him because, although he's from the South, when we normally associate rappers from the South kind of being about the ignorant-ish, he's actually quite a profound rapper.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, I wouldn't use conscious, but he's
semi-conscious for sure.
Yeah, he's one of the more conscious types, and he's got such a distinctive voice that is quite the pleasure to listen to.
Southern Comfort.
And on this record, Pick Yourself Up, he goes into like talking about women and being independent and essentially picking yourself up, being your own boss basically, and your own inspiration. So for the women and men, you know, that's something that we all want to listen to from time to time, even though it's rap.
Cool, awesome. So here it is. Push button automatic, bitch. I own that star. Dime bag, I done been, I done star for mine. Wheel rap, for me, coulda had that sign. Ride dirty, late night, coulda had that time. Well pilot, drop top, you can't have this shine. All mine, cold gang, if these walls could talk. They say stack that shit, nigga, get that ball. Youngest say fucked up, that shit ain't my fault. Nigga, pay them dues, nigga, pay that cost. So as you guys may know, one of the more major music moments happened in our absence. It was the Grammy Awards, which happened, I think, this month it was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Earlier this month.
Yeah, there was quite a few surprises, quite a few expecteds, and quite a few why nots, if that makes sense. So I guess we just wanted to have a quick chat about, you know, what we thought of the Grammys, who won what. Who deserved to win, and maybe who we thought probably should have been nominated.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll start from the top, right? Well, don't worry, we're not going to do everything because there's like 100
awards. Yeah, just the few.
The few that you guys that probably be
relevant
interested
to
in.
Us.
Exactly. So yeah. I guess the most important one, I guess, was Record of the Year. So in this category, we had Cardi B, I Like It, Brandy Carlile, The Joke, This Is America by Childish Gambino, God's Plan by Drake, Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, All the Stars by Kendrick Lamar and SZA, Rockstar by Post Malone and 21 Savage, and The Middle by Zedd, Maren Morris and Grey. Okay, it's a lot of people. And basically by Zedd, he's their main artist. So what do you think of the category? Should we start off with the category?
So the category consists of a good range of, I guess, in the past year, what we can consider like some of the bangers that came out and some of the songs that had constant radio play. And so, to be fair, I didn't, when the nominations came out, I thought, okay, fair enough. That's, you know, I would definitely say those are records that I've heard consistently. Yeah. Well, maybe one of them I've not actually heard of. But
I did notice, though, sorry, that in recent times, I guess, most present in this Grammys was the fact that there's a lot of hip hop in these mainstream categories.
Yeah, before. I mean, it's interesting. That's the direction that music, you know, popular music in general is, I feel like, is going. It's very much taking an inspiration from rap and hip hop beats in general. You know, so even like if we were to look at the pop category, some of them are like very R&B or like hip hop influenced, definitely. If you like.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree as well. I think hip hop has become pop music. You know, people forget that pop just stands for popular. Pop doesn't actually mean a sound.
Exactly.
So yeah, with that being said, I think hip hop has now become popular pop music, and it's actually being reflected now in the Grammy Awards. And I think I'm here for it, to be honest, man. Although I guess what we would listen to as hip hop may not be songs like I Like It or God's Plan or whatever, or Rockstar even. But it's good to know that, you know, there are people from our culture being put in the forefront, right?
Exactly.
So that being said, I think the winner was actually someone from our culture, Childish Gambino, big up him, with This Is America. So, I mean, what did you think of him winning it? Do you think he deserved it or?
So once the nominations came out, I thought Cardi B had this one. You know, everyone loves her. She's currently reigning, like, you just can't touch her. When This Is America came out to be the winner, I wasn't that surprised, to be fair, because the fanfare that was surrounding that song at the time of the release because of the video, and just of the message of the song in general, I thought, okay, this is a big moment. This is a huge moment. And so this is going to be reflected in terms of awards and nominations. I feel like that's something that we could anticipate. Mm. But a lot of people are saying that if not for the visual element of, you know, the song and the music video, Childish Gambino wouldn't have won that. What do you think about that?
Do you know what I mean? I'm in agreement, because when you think back to the actual lyrics of the song, how many lyrics can you remember past "This is America, don't catch you slipping now"? And yeah. Like, what lyrics do you actually remember? Maybe it's just me, but I don't actually remember many of the lyrics. And even if you do remember the lyrics, I'm not sure you could say, you know, it was an absolutely fantastic song, if that makes sense. Like, it was a good song, obviously, what it meant, but without the video element, do you... Okay, I guess it's what you're asking me. No, I don't think it would have won a Grammy, especially for what, Record of the Year. There were songs, I guess, maybe not as profound, but probably musically deserved to win the award ahead of it. I mean, what's your opinion?
I mean, it's interesting that you make note of the lyrics, because I know you're a lyrical guy. Like, you like to listen to...
Yeah, yeah. I like the bars.
I think what's interesting about This Is America is... the sound that it gave. Like, although I can't remember any of the lyrics, to be honest, I feel like that hard-hitting chorus, like, "This is America."
Yeah. Even the instrumental hard, as well. It's very, like, heavy.
With the hard guitar and just some of the song elements, I feel like maybe that's what made it such a significant song that people do actually remember, but maybe not in the lyrical sense, but it still made... you know, a print on our memories.
Yeah.
But yeah, the video was probably...
it boosted it.
What made it that much more significant to look at. Otherwise, I do think you're right. If without that video, it just wouldn't have had as much buzz as it did.
The message probably wouldn't have been conveyed either.
That's true.
To be honest, out of all the songs he did drop last year, my favourite one was Feels Like Summer. And that one also had a great video as well, but
it felt
a lot nicer. Like, just, you know, it was a real summer song.
Yeah.
But of course, that's probably not going to be nominated for a Grammy. And the video for that was actually really cool as well, with all the rappers and the role that everyone plays in the hip hop scene. Like,
that had a bit of a buzz.
Childish
around
is quite good with his videos, to be fair. But yeah, no. So I guess, did you mention what that you thought "I Like It" should have won by Cardi B, or who do you think should have won?
I think it should have been... down to me, my personal favorite. I mean, so I have what I feel like should have won, but then I have my, like, personal favorite. Like, if, you know, if no one else's opinion mattered, this is what I would have liked to win, and that song would have been "All the Stars" by Kendrick and SZA.
Yeah, fair.
I know that's such a, like, left field kind of choice, but
not at all.
I feel like instrumentally, that song is so powerful. Like, it just hits you, and lyrically as well, it's of substance. You know, it's not a nonsense song, and it did come out on the Black Panther album, so it was something that for the culture, it was for the culture as
100%,
well.
You know what, did you watch...
I
want to
say
Panther?
Something, but I'm not gonna say
it. Go on.
I was gonna say you should listen to that, like, you should listen to it high.
Yeah.
Mate,
we're not condoning anyone to take drugs. You know me, I'm in a legal profession, you know. Like, funny story. All right, cool.
You can edit that out, that's all right.
Very true. Funny story. So I actually, and hopefully no one in my work listens to this, but I went for an interview. Don't ask why, I've only been at my job for maybe 6 months now, but just to keep yourself on your toes, right? I went for an interview at NatWest Markets, like the investment banking arm of NatWest, right? And then so there was four directors basically in NatWest Markets, and like the head director who interviewed me, and I don't know why, but for some reason I let it slip that I do podcasting, right? Just, you know, show another element of myself. And the guy fully went on to say, "Oh, okay, what's the name of the podcast?" I was thinking, shit,
I he's not even gonna get it.
I was talking about how I used to blog about music and stuff, and, like, you know, I've got a podcast now. And little did I know, he's, like, massively into music as well, plays the guitar, piano, all sorts of stuff. He sings in a NatWest choir. So I thought, he's not really going to, like... I said, you probably won't, you know, listen to the music we talk about, but here it is. Funny enough, I then actually got the job, and then I had to tell him, sorry, I'm not going to be taking it. Mm. But then in the same phone call, he said, oh, by the way, I really love the Wheel It podcast. You have some insightful kind of thoughts. I was thinking, either one, you're lying and you didn't actually listen. Or two, if you listened and you're actually into the stuff and you knew what I was talking about,
props
then
to you.
Awesome. So I don't know if I should say his name, but you know who you are because there's only one of you. If you listen to this episode, well, yeah, big up you and continue listening. Maybe our paths will cross in future. But that's just a side note.
That's so great, though.
What was I saying? Yeah, no, I said that because you said listen to it. Hi. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Director, I don't indulge in such. But if you do, take Lammy's advice. So yeah, no. Did you actually watch the Black Panther film?
I did.
Yeah, and I'm not even gonna ask you for your opinion.
No.
Just
do you know
in
what?
Case.
I'm a critic, and the film was good. It wasn't that amazing, you know. That's what I'm gonna say. To be fair,
it was a moment. To be fair,
yeah, it was a moment.
I asked because
it was important.
I heard obviously all the stars before the film dropped. I think I think that the song dropped first, and then. When the film came out, I think the song came on at the end credits, right? And I don't know why, but I just got a new feeling for the song at the end of that film. Like, it felt more. Like, it was more than just, this is a cool song. Like, I felt it differently. And because of that, I kind of built an attachment to the song. Mm-hmm. And it always reminds me of those final moments of the film and everything. I was like, yeah, this is cool. So I think I too would have probably gone. And also, the music video for it is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
The cinematography is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think I would have put in all the stars as the winner for that category. Although Rockstar by Post Malone had a massive year.
That was
like
huge.
Number one for weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was in the top 10 almost a year, I think it was. So if anything, Post Malone probably deserved it.
That probably deserved it.
In terms of deserving it. But yeah. I guess who I would have preferred was probably Kendrick Lamar and SZA to win it. Mm. But I guess... moving on to the next, I guess, just as important category out of the main ones now.
Album of the year.
So, do you want to go through the nominees, actually?
So, the nominations were Cardi B with Invasion of Privacy, Brandy Carlile, By the Way, I Forgive You, Drake with Scorpion, Her with self-titled Her, Post Malone with Beer Bongs and Bentleys, Janelle Monáe with
such
Dirty
a white
Computer.
Boy, tired, isn't it?
Janelle Monáe with Dirty Computer, Kacey Musgraves with Golden Hour, and of course the Black Panther album with various artists, with Kendrick, etc., etc.
Lots of people on there. Mm. Cool. So, what do you think of the category? Anyone undeserving, should we say?
First of all, I have no idea who Kacey Musgraves is.
And she won it. Imagine that.
I know.
Imagine that.
Like, I don't really have much to say about the winner.
Yeah.
But hey.
I remember there was one year that, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, that there was an artist called Beck. He won it. And I remember Kanye at the end of the Grammys went off.
Beck's
was like,
a legend.
Who the hell listens to Beck? I can't lie. I echoed that same sentiment. Like, who's Beck? But then Kanye actually did come back and say, do you know what? I actually listen to his music and he's sick. So I'll take his word for it. But it seems like another case of that with this year as well. Who the hell is Kacey Musgraves?
I feel like she's kind of newer on the scene. I have no idea, but at least with Beck, that was a little more understood because he's been in the game for so long.
Fair.
But yeah, I guess I'll just have to look into Kacey Musgraves.
Are you actually going to?
I mean, if she pops up on my Spotify, I will have a listen, you know?
Yeah, fair. See, I can't say the same. I ain't listening.
I don't even know what genre she is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I have so much of a filter for music, which I guess is to my detriment sometimes, that if I just sniff that you may not like be something I like, I'm just not going to give you the time of day, which really limits me sometimes as well. Like with what I listen to, like I'll listen to 90% of the time, I listen to stuff I've already heard. And 10, maybe 20% of the time, it's new music.
You discover something new.
Because I hate listening to new music and I hate it because it's time wasted. Mm. But yeah, with that being said then, who do you think should have won in this category?
I feel like Drake would have been the choice, as in...
Drake?
If
Drake?
I feel like...
Nah, man.
If you were to put it to, okay, what would everyone else hope would win? I think maybe Drake. But personally, I think... this one's a difficult one because...
How so?
Personally, I don't listen to although you know, Cardi B is another popular choice, I didn't listen to Invasion of Privacy.
That's just
a matter of one of those albums that I, you know, I'm not rushing to listen to, and I don't have a particular interest in her style of music. Mm. But yeah, I think Drake should have taken this.
The album, Invasion of Privacy, I echo the same sentiment where I'm like, Cardi is not really my kind of, and I think at the time the album dropped, the only experience I've had with Cardi, it was Bodak Yellow. And as a guy, every time you hear Bodak Yellow, within 10 seconds, a girl's going to be in your face screaming the lyrics with her hands all in your face. So the song quickly became annoying and guys couldn't enjoy it as much. So with that being said, I wasn't really hopeful, but I was like, okay, I know the kind of demography the music is catering to and it's probably not going to be myself. But I still gave it a spin. And to be fair, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. A lot more, I don't know. It was just better. Like, it was, okay, you had your, you know, Bodak Yellow type songs, but then she showed different sides and different elements to herself that she could display. And actually, I remember on the day the album came out, I can't remember who I had the conversation with, but I remember saying, I like it. I said, this song is a smash. Like, the first time I heard I Like It, I was like, this song is gone. And obviously, it became her second number one, yeah, right? And big up to her because I read, I think it was yesterday, that Cardi is now the second highest female rapper of all time. Second highest. I think first is Nicki Minaj and she's second. So Foxy Brown, Lil' Kim, Trina, yeah, all of them. She leapfrogged them all within, what, 2-3 years, if anything. Album went platinum. She's had a really good year. And obviously, she's what, the first female artist to have, is it 2 number ones? I think
she smashed lots.
Lauryn Hill had number one. And then she's the first one to have 2 number ones. So she had a really good year. And I don't think it's any coincidence that her album was also a decent album as well, better than what people expected. Because I didn't think people expected her to be good at making music, if that makes sense.
The girl works hard. We have to.
She works hard, and she deserves all the success she gets.
Yeah,
it's just that her decision making may not be the best sometimes of her husband. I guess we should give him the correct title, but that's neither here nor there. So I guess with that being said, I definitely would have. Maybe I wouldn't go as far as saying I put Invasion of Privacy over Scorpion, but I didn't particularly love Scorpion. And then with her album, I listened to her first 2 mixtapes, but I haven't actually heard her album. But a lot of people are saying, you know, she should win it, and, you know, people are speaking about her.
Her was a surprise. Well, partly a surprise because she's still very much a newer artist, and she has her niche where she's R&B, she's soulful, she's, you know,
she's real R&B. Like, R&B is kind of not dead, but like it's in a weird space at the moment.
She's completely in a lane of not going for what's popular sounding, and she's just giving, you know, soulful, sensual R&B. And so I guess it was a surprise in that sense. But her album was a very solid one. I really enjoyed it. It's something that I go back to often because it's her songwriting is excellent. Like,
her pen is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, she just, every song, like, is a story, and it's like her selection of, like, her beats as well are just so complimentary to the way she sings. And I feel like something tells me that she might become like something like Jasmine Sullivan.
Okay.
In the similar sense that she's out of the spotlight, she doesn't really want to be seen, but she is giving you quality music on the low. And so for her to be Grammy nominated was kind of a surprise in that sense. But did I expect her to win it? I wasn't too sure because obviously with the likes of Drake and Cardi B in there,
it's hard.
I thought it would definitely go to either of the two.
Mm.
But then apparently neither of them were good enough to win.
Fair. Grammys have a funny way of saying, all right, we're going to give the culture, you know, a little bit, but at the same time, not too much, right?
Yeah.
It would have been probably a bit too much for, you know, our culture to have won Song of the Year, Album of the Year, Record of the Year, and then sweep up, obviously, the whole hip-hop categories.
Mm.
So they have a way of kind of like, you know, giving you some, but not everything. But maybe one day they're just going to acknowledge what's... And I don't want to discredit this Casey Musgraves. Because I haven't heard her music. But I'm sure there were probably one or two that universally we would probably consider as better.
Mm.
But you didn't think Black Panther's album should have won it then, or?
I enjoyed the album only a little bit because I was of the opinion that in terms of the theme, it's a thematic album, right? It's to do with the film Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I felt like the musical direction was a little bit misguided. It didn't feel like an album that represented Black Panther or African sound and culture. I feel like Kendrick did his best. The production on the album is actually quite great and there are some great songs on there. Mm. But I think maybe the fact that the influence was a bit misguided in terms of like giving it a very hip hop sound rather than like an African flavor that he could have taken some maybe like influence from some of the African artists that we've got now, Afrobeats artists, like, you know, some of the giants like Wizkid, Davido, etc.
Yeah, I think he had one or two South African house artists, but he didn't really have many.
And so it was a great effort, but it just didn't click for me.
Yeah,
and same. So maybe that's why it didn't, you know.
Fair.
It wasn't as big as it could have been.
So we're saying Scorpion should have won it.
I mean,
to say it. It's because the character was weak. That's probably why, right?
Despite any reservations I might have about Scorpion, like I said, it was just okay for me. But funnily enough, I still go back to it like from time to time. Yeah.
What's your favorite song on it at the moment?
There's a lot to take in from side A and side B. So I think I should probably choose like a favorite track from either side. And I think side A, it would be Survival is up there.
Yeah.
I really liked that as an opening.
It was a great opening, to be fair.
Elevate is good as well.
You don't like Emotionless? With the Mariah Carey sample.
Yeah, it's...
You're not feeling it?
No, it's... I think that's a great sample. And I think that was 40 that did that, right?
Most probably, yeah.
Yeah, it very much sounds like a 40 sort of production in terms of the sample choice and just the way he spun it. But that song for me is like annoying because like the way he gets onto like Instagram girls and stuff, it's just like, mind your business.
Is he triggering you?
not necessarily. It's just like, that's one side of Drake I'm not too sure about, the way he sings about certain types of women. But that's neither here nor there.
Fair.
Side B, I think my favorite is, what's the song called?
Jaded.
No, not Jaded actually. It is, I'll have to look at the track list. Because I can't remember for the life of me. But
can't be that great then, right?
But because of his, because of how many smash hits were on it, like things that went viral, God's Plan, and
I hate that song. Oh my Lord.
What's the other one that went viral with the dance and everything?
Kiki, what's it called again?
Yeah, I can't remember the names of these songs for some reason.
Said you never ever leave from beside me, cause I want you. What's it called?
Let's have a
quick Mad. Look. As big as that song was, I can't actually remember the name.
Mm. Anyway, my point is, because of all these hits that had constant replay,
feelings. That's it.
In My Feelings, Mob Ties had a lot of play.
Mm.
You know, I just thought that the album would take it, album of the year, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone,
nice for what was a smash.
It was something that was everyone's tongues and, you know, everyone knew about it. The marketing was crazy for this album.
Yeah.
It was all over TV, you know, it was in Leicester Square, you know, they did a lot with this album. And so I just thought naturally it would take it. So yeah, despite any...
God, I had a Michael Jackson verse as well. Yeah. Feature even. Imagine that.
I mean, like, despite any... what our personal feelings about the album was, I just thought commercially, I thought like, you know, he would have taken it.
Fair. No, I hear that. Sort of in a similar way to how Beer Bongs and Bentley, not Beer Bongs and Bentley, Rockstar by Post Malone should have probably have taken the first category, right?
Yeah.
In a commercial sense. Fair. Okay. I guess those are the general ones. So should we move on to, I guess, the ones that we all came for, right? The only... categories we tune in to listen to when the Grammys are on, which is best Latin folk. So, I'm joking. Best rap performance. Can we wait? What is a rap performance, actually?
I think that encompasses everything from the production to the lyrics to the
delivery.
Yeah. I think that might even involve the video as well.
Fair. Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this one, we had Be Careful by Cardi B. Nice For What. Imagine Lauryn Hill. She had two of her sample tracks in the same category. King's Dead off the Black Panther album with Kendrick Lamar, J-Rock, Future, and James Blake. Bubbling by Anderson .Paak. Sicko Mode by Travis Scott. Like I Do by Christina Aguilera. Even know she still made music. Mad.
I feel like you're going into another category.
Oh, yes, I am. I was. So it ends at Sicko Mode. I was going to say. Cool. So, category, what are your thoughts? Who should have won? Well, I must say, actually, the winner was, of the winners, strangely enough, it was a tie between King's Dead and Bubbling by Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, which I feel like is a strange tie.
It's weird, right?
At that. Again, we've got Cardi and Drake within this, you know, category.
They dominated and 2018, to be fair.
Yeah,
the two
they
of them,
really did.
King and Queen of 2018.
And looking at the nominations, I thought it would either be Drake with Nice For What or Sicko Mode.
I think it should have been Sicko Mode.
It definitely should have been Sicko Mode.
I think so too. I mean, there's not really much to say as to why. If you just listen to all of the songs, I guess you could probably... and when I say why performance, is because in terms of as a song, I feel like Sicko Mode brings more in terms of production level.
Definitely.
Also within the song, there's like three parts. He opens the song, Travis opens the song in one way, then the beat completely switches, Drake comes and bodies it, has one of the catchphrases of the year, Out Like a Light, and it comes back into the original beat with Travis again.
Exactly. So it's all encompassing
performance,
in terms
of... Performance, you know what I'm saying? I thought that's the reason why... It probably should have won rap performance, but hey, I'm all for Anderson .Paak winning a Grammy because he's a great musician, and Kendrick again once more, and J-Rock, so I'm glad J-Rock's got a Grammy. Best rap song, Like I Do by Christina Aguilera and Gold Link, Pretty Little Fears by Black, and Imagine, I almost said Six Lack, and I've never said Six Lack before.
You see, it just comes to you.
It rolls off the tongue, wow. Black and J. Cole. Childish Gambino, This Is America, All The Stars once again, and Rockstar once again. So a lot of these songs, they were in the main category and they've fallen down into the niched categories.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth mentioning that what makes this different from... So this is Best Rap Song Performance, and then it mentions that it's for solo and collaborative performance containing both elements of R&B melodies and rap. So I think that's something... to consider.
Yeah.
And with that being said, the nominations, I feel like I was so happy to see Black nominated, first of all.
It was a great song.
Yeah.
Which I think should have won.
Yeah.
Might I add.
Exactly, because the verse from J. Cole,
awesome.
As we've talked about it on a previous episode, it's absolutely stellar.
I must say, J. Cole was snubbed in this year's Grammys, man. I think in hip-hop, he had one of the best years in terms of album and features, but minimal nominations and no wins. He was one of the people I do feel that was genuinely robbed this year, but I find comfort in the fact that he probably doesn't care at this point.
He doesn't. He's
so
he's
easy,
rebel.
Easy. He's straight. But yeah, no. Once again, This Is America One.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned why this category is...
rap song. Hang on. So what? The singing was
Yeah.
Is that what they count as the singing? Because there
exactly.
was no actual singing.
That's what I'm saying. The R&B elements, I'm not hearing it. Rap elements, it was barely there. Do you understand?
Yo.
So that's
this
why.
It's upsetting me. And it's a great song with a great theme and everything, but allow it. Like,
exactly. That's why I felt like mentioning it, because I felt like this is a blatant error, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think it's overcompensating. I remember last year, was it last year or the year before, when Kendrick swept it up with Damn. I think the Grammys, like, they overcompensated the situation by giving him all these awards and that for an album which I don't think was his best album, simply because I feel like they dropped the ball with the last Grammys with To Pimp a Butterfly. I think the same thing has happened here with This Is America. They've overcompensated because obviously it's about race, which is a sensitive topic and everyone wants to be on the right side of the conversation. They've now kind of gone above and beyond by, I think he won best record, best song, best rap song.
Yeah.
All three of which I don't think he should have been eligible in the first place, let alone winning.
Yeah, exactly. This is the one category that I definitely feel like Childish Gambino shouldn't have possibly even been nominated for.
Word. Which is annoying. But
so, both of us agree that Pretty Little Fear should have taken that.
Yeah.
We both really enjoy that song. And Black's voice is beautiful, right against, you know, that excellent verse from J. Cole.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I guess we'll go through to the main one now, then, which was Best Rap Album. Mm. Now, where do I start? okay, so the nominees were Invasion of Privacy, Cardi B, Matt Miller, Rest in Peace, with Swimming, Nip Hustle with Victory Lap, Pusha T with Daytona, and Travis Scott with Astroworld.
Mm.
Thoughts?
So this is actually the first set of nominations that I came across.
Mm.
And my instant reaction was, we all know Cardi B is going to bag it.
Unfortunately.
And lo and behold, that's what happened.
She bagged it.
And again, you have to think about it from a commercial sense.
Commercial, man. Allow it.
Like. Though I didn't listen to it.
This commercial shit.
Though I didn't listen to it, I just knew that that's... You know, Cardi B would be for the taking because why? She's the first woman to have won in that category. Mm. And so it just made sense, you know?
Yeah.
Who do you think should have won?
I thought I made my opinion quite clear. I actually called it all the way in October last year. Was it September, October last year? Me and my boys, we went to a Caribbean spot and had dinner. And we're talking about, you know, who's had the best album this year and everything. And we all kind of came to the agreement that it was Nipsey. For different reasons, and we still hold that thought now. And so I genuinely thought Nipsey Hussle Victory Lap should have won it. More so because of the journey we've seen him take right from the start of his career to now and how everything has been so purposeful. And it's like he said, I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z actually happened in the exact same way he's done it. And it's come through his sheer hard work, his determination, and his willing to kind of go against the grain. Majority of his career has been independent, and just his business moves and his business savvy has been quite inspirational to a lot of, to me, in a climate where a lot of rappers are taking these whack deals and kind of having to compromise themselves because they are signed for whatever reason. So his integrity is part of what I love about the album. And of course, the actual music on the album is fantastic as well. I don't think there's a skippable track from top to bottom. I guess a bit of it would be biased because I'm actually a Nip Hustle fan and I've been for a long time. But genuinely, out of those who were nominated, and I'd say Daytona was in a close number two. And if they went to Pusha T, I wouldn't have been mad at all. But in that category, I definitely do think that should have been Best Rap Album. I do think that the Grammys, they hit the nail on the head by nominating this one because... From the culture, I think cultural-wise, this actually was the best album that came out last year. It's a shame that Meek Mill's one probably came out after the nominations, which probably could have got a recognition in this category at least. I do think Victory Lap should have won. What about you?
So for me, I felt like Astroworld might have been a close call as well. Mm. I felt like, personally, I would have loved to see Daytona win.
Mm.
Because that's... Of the selection, that was my favorite album.
Right.
Astroworld would have made sense as well because that, you know, that was huge in terms of the play and just the general reception. But Daytona for me.
Yeah, no, I feel. And then Daytona also pushed the culture forward.
Mm.
Like Nip's album was great for the culture because it was like a triumphant kind of thing. And that's why it's called Victory. Everything about it is so purposeful. Like he's even got like a clothing label called Marathon. And like the whole concept of marathon is that you're running and everything. And then obviously a victory lap is obviously the last lap of the marathon. So he's completed the marathon and now he's at exactly where he said he was going to be. So the continuance is great. But then Daytona actually pushed the culture forward, I'd say, because it was seven songs long.
Mm.
And obviously, when it first came out, everyone was like, seven songs? It's too short kind of thing. But with his one, we saw exactly why it was seven songs long and the execution of it was flawless to a T from top to bottom. We haven't seen many albums come out that are 7 songs long, but I do think we are going to shift away in terms of when an artist wants to put out a quality album. I think they're going to shift away from a 20 song and more to a maybe 9 to 11 song. So I think it will bring down a number of songs drastically with no need for fillers, I believe.
Yeah, that's definitely a trend that we spoke about last season, that we're going to see a lot shorter albums, shortened to the point.
Which goes against the going of streaming as well, because artists, they put a lot of songs on their album because of streaming. They try and get the numbers up. I always say Pusha T is the antichrist of hip-hop, and even in the amount of songs he's put in the album and the kind of songs he makes, it's, again, the antichrist of streaming, the antichrist of what artists are pushing towards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hope to see this taken on board a lot more. But we'll see. So I guess that was our thoughts on the Grammys then, and what we thought of the winners and the categories
that are relevant to us.
In fact, in hip-hop, would you have put anyone in there that wasn't in there? Or would you have...
2018 was a year I didn't get into too many new albums, to be fair.
I feel you.
And so no other albums come to mind. I actually did listen to, let me see, I think every album except Cardi's album I did listen to. So,
Fair.
And that's within rap, I mean.
Yeah, obviously.
So I just didn't take in much more than that.
I'm trying to think myself too. Is there any album that I probably would have put in there that dropped this year? I'll tell you what though, special mention for Book of Ryan by Royce da 5'9", which is a really good conceptual album from top to bottom. It's talking about kind of himself, I guess, and his battle with alcoholism and, you know, family and this, that and the other. It was a really good conceptual album. Reason as well, the new TDE artist. His debut album drops. There you have it. TDE, as always, never dropped the ball. Okay, they dropped the ball with Lance Skywalker. But apart from him, they hardly ever dropped the ball. And this is a new artist. I'm excited to see his next projects and where he's going to take it going forward, because the guy can spit and he's got a good ear for beats as well.
Mm.
Although he did say all of the beats from this album were YouTube beats. He found them on YouTube. That this album was his first album, but like his musical input wasn't that great on it. So I'm actually excited to see when he has full control, when he has the full backing of Top behind him, you know, the whole TDE repertoire and, you know, that kind of energy around him, what he'll be able to make. I think he'll be awesome. What else should have probably been nominated? We'll leave out those two honourable mentions, I'd say. Probably should have, you know, had a mention, but alas, it's the Grammys. We can't expect too much from them.
Mm.
Interesting to see how Scorpion got what album of the year nominations, but not rap album nominations.
Mm.
Pretty weird. Oh, lastly, sorry, Redemption by J-Rock definitely should have been in there.
Okay, fair enough.
And his is another story where his last album came, 9-0-0-5-9, came just before he had a near fatal accident. So soon after the album dropped, he had a motorcycle crash, was in hospital for a long time, and he almost died. And so throughout this album, he was exploring themes of kind of, I guess, redemption, like a second life, and kind of like he's overcome such a crazy situation. And so for that reason, and also the musicality of it was awesome as well. Some of my favorite songs of the year came out on that album too. And plus, being the underdog of TDE and one of also the first member of TDE, I feel like he doesn't get his props often. So this was finally an opportunity for people to kind of see J-Rock for what he is and kind of forget about Kendrick, forget about Schoolboy, forget about all those guys, and see J-Rock, the founding member of TDE, and what he has to bring. So honourable mention for him as well. But yeah, apart from that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, now that you mentioned TDE, actually, who are some of the rap collectives that you're looking forward to with their output
collectives
in the next year? I'm talking like maybe Dreamville.
Ooh, I heard they're cooking at the moment. Have you seen that? Like the marketing run they've been doing, the whole invites to the studio, and that's been cool. I just hope it ain't trash though, because they're doing a lot. So and they've invited a lot of people to the studio, and a lot of people that I wouldn't expect them to have invited. So Dreamville definitely. Although I don't feel like Dreamville have got as strong a team as TDE.
No.
I am looking forward to what they put out. It also is a rap collective. Don't really care for what ASAP Mob are doing. Too tough. It also is a rap collective.
Who am I paying attention to?
it's not really collectives. Odd Future, they don't really move like that together anymore.
No, not anymore. And the only people worth looking at from Odd Future is Earl Sweatshirt, Frank, maybe Tyler.
No, definitely he's, Tyler. Tyler's great, man.
I mean, I say maybe Tyler because he's a, you know, refined taste for... Yeah. I mean, acquired taste for certain people.
Definitely so is Elsa, I'll tell you that.
And perhaps Sid, she's interesting.
Yes, very true. Or the internet, actually.
And the internet in general. Yeah,
no, that's another group. But they're not really hip-hop, are they? They're more jazz, pop, fusion kind of. I mean, I'd like to hear what Dreamville have coming out. Mm. A couple of my favourite artists are on Dreamville. But apart from that, no, not particularly, not any groups. But I guess, guys, if there's any group that, you know, you've heard of that are up and coming and they're sick, then please, you know, use the hashtag Wheel It Pod. We'll take a look at them and your suggestions. I love being put onto great music. So please, no...
when you have the patience to take
no
it
craps.
In.
Yeah.
No craps.
No craps. No craps. Often by like the third or fourth song, I know if it's craps or not. So I do give like music a try, but... And obviously, if the album is more than 20 songs, then it's less likely, again, I'm going to sit through it. But with that being said, I'm still definitely open for great music.
So what's shouts. Like an artist that you know about, you're aware of their music and their output, but you just haven't had the time to like get into, but you are looking to?
Okay. Let's have a look. I'll have to look through my library because the chances are they're sitting there in my saved...
I'll think of someone as well.
Let's have a look. JID is from Dreamville. JID is DiCaprio 2. There's been a lot of talk about it. I need to get into that.
You know who's another artist that's in TDE that I didn't realise until like last month?
Sir. Yeah, man.
I had no
TDE
idea.
They don't drop the ball. They hit them up every time.
And I'm a fan of Sir. And he's wavy. Like from, you know, in the past year.
Yeah.
But I was really happy to find that out.
Yeah. Neo as well. Her album Saturn, I haven't listened to. Mick Jenkins, Pieces of a Man, I haven't listened to. Even Summer Walker's Last Day of Summer, I haven't listened to.
Okay. That's fairly short, so.
Yeah, no. There's quite a few that I'd like to listen to, but I just haven't gotten all the way around to kind of getting into. But yeah, I guess those ones I'd say I'd like to listen to. I guess with that being said then, what have you actually been listening to in recent times? Should we catch them up with what we've been bumping?
I guess I've been listening to a lot of just some of my favourites from like Nigerian artists sort of sound.
Odunsi and them, man.
Yeah, that's I've been listening to consistently in the past year.
That's your wave.
Yeah, very much riding that wave. And I'm anticipating a few albums that are yet to be released. I'm talking about Tay Iwa, Santi, who's excellent, by the way, and he's got an album coming out. I feel like... if there's any one of the artists that I would say you should have a listen, it would be Santi.
Write this down. Santi. Okay. And that's considering what I've just said, right? You stand by him.
Yes.
Because I'm going to text you. If I'm not feeling it, I'm going to like, wasted half an hour of my life. No, I'll definitely give him a shout. There were a couple of tracks that you played an episode or two ago by where the alter, I think it was actually Odunsi.
It might have featured maybe, I do remember playing Freaky by Santi.
Yeah, that was alright. So if it's around that kind of stuff, then no, definitely. Okay, so I guess what I've been listening to recently. So I'm not the biggest fan of Future, but I listened to Future Hendrix, what's the Wizard, I think it was.
Okay.
I don't think I'm now gonna become a Future fan because of it. But there were one or two songs that I was feeling. I liked, what was it called? Stick to the Models. That's about it. James Blake dropped an album as well. I don't know if you listened to it. Assume Form.
I'm yet to get to that, wicked, believe man. It or not, because I do love James Blake.
He's awesome.
And I loved The Colour of Everything.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Excellent. And I'm looking forward to Assume Form. Apparently he's taken a bit of a different direction with this one.
There's a bit of hip hop in it.
Okay.
There's quite a few hip hop features. About four or five of the songs out of 9, 10 are hip hop. But it's a lot lighter, I'd say. You know, his music is a bit sinister,
intense
is the word. It's a lot lighter, but it's still James Blake, if that makes sense. There's no compromise on it.
Okay,
that's why I really enjoy it as well. I guess my favorite is probably the one with Andre 3000. And I like how he's embraced hip hop artists, but also hip hop artists have embraced him as well. He's been on a lot of people's albums in recent terms. I guess he was on the Black Panther album. He was on Astroworld as well.
Yeah. To be fair, he's always had like that.
Chance the Rapper is the first one I heard.
A strange soulful influence. I remember when he was first coming onto the scene, he always said that his major influence was D'Angelo.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wavy.
And he grew up in South London. So he's, you know, from culturally, ends and he's culturally intact. Aware. Yeah.
That's wavy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I can hear, do you know what, not that I can hear directly D'Angelo's influence, but I'm not surprised he listens to D'Angelo. But that's wavy to hear, actually. That is wavy to hear. Maybe next time I listen to his music, I'm going to like kind of have that in mind and then feel a different feel for it as well. Because I'm a big fan of D'Angelo too. That's wavy. Definitely give Asim Form a listen. I've been listening to 2009. It's a mixtape by Wiz Khalifa and Currency. Fun story. When I was in college, not really a story, an anecdote. When I was in college, Wiz Khalifa was actually my favorite artist. I couldn't tell you why.
I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised.
Why is that?
I just feel like maybe aesthetic wise.
He's
your kind of guy.
Fair. Yeah, no, that was definitely part of what it was as well. But he kind of like, I kind of fell off him a bit, but this mixtape was really cool, man. It reminded me of why I liked him a lot. He's got a few tapes. He's got one called Taylor Order Dice, and he's also got another mixtape called Cushion Orange Juice. And then the vibe of this tape, 2009, it really was kind of alongside that. It was a really cool vibe. Again, if you would like to listen to it while high, I definitely recommend that. Not that I have, but it's definitely one to listen to if you're not sober, kind of thing. I'm yet to listen to D-Block Europe's new album, actually, Home Alone, their UK. And then Giggs came out with Big Bad yesterday. Have you listened to it yet?
No.
Listen to it. It's cool. I'd say listen to it because it's Giggs and, you know, you're going to come across it. But I don't want to sound like a hater or a bad man, right? But I'm kind of tired of Giggs's flow and his delivery.
I had a feeling you'd say that.
At the end of, like, the last two bars out of the 8 and the 16... He always, like, the pitch of his voice goes up. Like, he was like, I'm never going to copy it. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, the pitch of his voice will go up kind of thing. And I'm kind of sick of that. And then he always raps in halftime as well. Although there were some songs in the album where he was rapping in regular time and even as far as rapping in double time, which was interesting to explore. But what I do like about the album is that he does bring UK and US firmly together. I think he's done it the best so far in terms of UK producers and US producers on the same album, UK features and US features on the same album, and it works well. He's got a great song with Swiss Beats, which I'm feeling, and also his song with Wretch Free 2 bodied it, as you can expect Wretch Free 2 to do. Absolutely bodied it.
Expect nothing less from the two of them together, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've always thought of Giggs as more of a features guy. He can obviously hold his own, but it'll be interesting to see what that album brings. So I'll give that a listen.
The second half, I think there's a run of songs from maybe the fourth song to the second last song, which is good, like six songs. That's where all his features are. He's got Jadakiss, he's got Swiss Beats, he's got Gets, he's got Labyrinth on there, which is a good song as well. Like, it's quite musical. Yeah. The beats are really good on
the
this.
The features sound solid. So
very good features. Definitely. And those are the songs that he shined through on. Give it a listen, and maybe the next time we speak, you know, you have some thoughts on it. I guess lastly then, Drake, So Far Gone, the re-release. Have you had a spin of it?
Oh, what a nostalgic moment. Yeah. It's one of those moments that I listened to it for the first time in like a couple years, and all the lyrics came back, and I was just singing word for word.
Surprised me.
And
how,
I thought, to be 14 again or however old I was. it just shows the growth that Drake has had.
Oh, mate.
And it was kind of like a full circle moment. And
definitely.
Yeah.
It was released at the perfect time, I'd say.
I think so.
He's at the height of his career now. That was at the very beginning of his career. So to see the development in kind of the topics he raps about, his perspective on things as well, is a lot less naive and a lot more aware of his status as basically being the best. At the moment. So it's nice to see his skill as a rapper has gone up as well. His musicality as a rapper has gone up as well. Mm. His beat selection has obviously improved. But then So Far Gone was still a great album in itself, and there was still a couple classic joints on there.
Yeah, it's nice to see that. Though his like beat selections has improved, like it's still very much that same flavor of the like the soulful choices. Yeah.
Samples have always
been
there.
But then the classic hip hop samples. Definitely. Like the first ever Drake song I heard was Ignorant Ship.
Yeah.
And I recognized the Jay sample and I was like, wait, hold on. This isn't even a sample. This is just like he straight rapping over
the same beat.
Jay's song.
Same beat, yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought,
you have
wow.
to hold your own if you do that as well. And he did.
Yeah,
to him.
I thought, hang on, like, who has the audacity to do this? And he actually did it well, so I was very happy.
That early in his career too, and that's what afforded him or merited him the feature on his debut album, Thank Me Later, a verse by Jay-Z on one of the best songs on the album, Light Up.
Light Up.
And every album since, Jay-Z's been on it. And when Jay-Z and Drake team up, you know it's a banger. Definitely going to be spinning So Far Gone a few more times, man. Mm. Take me back to when I was a lot younger as well. And what built the foundations of why I like Drake kind of thing. I guess that's been our first episode back.
Yeah, that's been our roundup. We're looking forward to recording a lot more episodes for you guys on a consistent schedule. But I guess we should let them know our socials again.
Sure.
And all of that stuff. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Hopefully we're going to be a lot more active on there at Wheel It Pod. I think Twitter is Wheel It Pod and
I think
Instagram should be the same.
If not, by the time you type in Wheel It P-O-D, it will either come up as Wheel It Pod or Wheel It Podcast. But exactly. By then the result would have come up, right?
There's not too many people called Wheel It.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'll find us. And follow us on our personal socials as well at Lami Akindele or...
Mine's at cozy_Carl, cozy with a Z. Thank you once again, guys, for sticking with us and for listening. We hope to reward your patience with more episodes for your head top.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Peace.